Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we're going to have a little different show, one I think that as pet owners, we're going to appreciate because our pets are our family. I know mine are to me. And full disclosure, the doctor that we're going to speak with, my pets use his product because I feel so strongly about what he stands for and his love of humanity and his attention to detail. So we're going to speak today with Dr. Broderick, that's been in practice as a veterinarian for 51 years. He's a leader in the natural pet food movement and an outspoken critic of harmful additives in commercial food. He's a world-renowned expert in natural pet nutrition, and his mission is to improve the well-being and lifespan of your pet. And from what I've read, Dr. Broderick, the average age of pets in your practice is about 18 years old. Is that correct?
Well, when I started, there was sick at 6 and dead at 8. And now we are up to 19 pushing 20 for the dogs. And we crossed 22 into 23 year range for cats. So we're four times the national average, three times the national average, in 16-24.
That's a huge deal because from what I've read, the life expectancy of pets and the diagnosis of diabetes and cancer is through the roof in the average dog and cat, isn't it?
It is. So everyone you know and everyone I know has one dog or one cat. When I was born, October 23rd, 1941, six weeks before Pearl Harbor, there was no pet food. And so they haven't had a chance to genocide people yet, the animals yet. And so there was no pet food. So everybody ate what their parents ate, and so they were well protected, and it took, you know, thousands of years to get there. And in that thousands of years, they grew to, my observation was, 24, because my grandfather's dog lived from 23, and my grandmother's dog, my grandmother's cat lived till 25. So 23 and 25, average it out, 24. And so that's what happened when I was born. That's the observation I made, you know, when I was a couple of years old. And the dogs and cats, the same dog and cat was still alive then. And it was wonderful. There was no disease. There was no cancer, no heart disease, no kidney disease, no liver disease, no diabetes, all from poisonous pet food, because everyone, including you, would not feed your child, and it's a child now, it's not a pet anymore. A lot of things changed with my ongoing visits with Mother Teresa, and so they are children of God. They're not a pet, they're not a toy, they're a child of God. And so they should be fed exactly the quality of food that you feed the rest of your family. However, when you're on cornucopia for a while and you're using it and you're seeing the difference in it and that it makes in the dogs and the cats, it's really easy to figure this thing out. It's really easy to recognize that we are transforming these dogs and cats back to where they were when I was born. And that's an average between the dog and the cat, 24.
No.
But there's a bad side to it, Elena.
What's the bad
side? There's a bad side to it.
What's that?
You what?
What's the bad side?
The bad side is there's no more veterinary bills.
Well, there's always wellness checks, you know, just to make sure they're okay.
Well, I have to beg people to go to their doctor because I don't want I don't want my brothers and sisters in veterinary medicine to go out of business because people misconstrue what I have said. Because if they do, and you don't support them, they're going to be out of business. And when your dog gets sick, and your cat gets sick, you're going to wind up at a place called the Animal Emergency Clinic. And boy, you're going to be sorry you did that.
I think that's universal if you're human or a pet or, you know, a non-human child of God. Now I have a question for you. I think it's a mindset change. I mean, you are a pioneer in a wellness approach to pet care. How did you get into that? Because it's not a typical path, is it? It's like the regular allopathic physician bend where everything's a medication, everything's made by man, and nothing natural because it's all about disease as opposed to wellness. How did you make that paradigm shift?
I really don't know. I just was born that way. I knew when I was 3 years old that I was going to be an animal doctor. And so with everything that happened, I turned into a veterinarian. But now I'm just an animal doctor again. And it's the big difference is the money. You follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no such thing in the United States of America. This is all my opinion, of course, of doing this for 53 years, not 51. What's happened here is that I turned into my father and mother's backyard, a little zoo, when I was 3 years old. And it was phenomenal. And people would ask my mother where he came from, where he, meaning me, came from. And she said, oh, that's a whole other conversation. She said, I gave birth to him. That's all I know. Where he came from is a whole other story.
Well, I think the answer is the same that you gave before. You're a child of God. You're put on this earth to do this, obviously, and it's a mission for you. And we're going to take a break in a few seconds, but I wanted to, when we come back, discuss the real difference between the quality of food, the human grade quality of food that you give, actually better than human because it's organic and there's thought behind it, versus what the average pet food is. I don't think people really understand that it's not necessarily food. And I think if you understand that, then you can make a conscious decision. So let's talk about that when we come back. You're living in the solution.
Okay.
Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Broderick, and people need to go to his website, cornucopiapetfoods.com. And there you can read about him, about his book, Compassion for Pets, which I definitely want to speak about in a minute. But before the break, I wanted to ask you, because I didn't know this. So what's in these pet foods? I mean, they sound great. They're telling you they show these chicken cuts and beef cuts on these commercials. But is it really what it says it is on that label?
Here's the deal with pet food. Pet food is garbage. It's been garbage since the early 50s. Because the extruder was invented and you can put in anything in this gun barrel. In my book, it looks like Leonardo drew this thing out. And it's just the way it turned out because I was having dinner with Bobby Atkins and we were drawing this stuff out. And of course he didn't use extrusion. So I drew the whole thing out, the whole plan out of what an extruder is. So it's this fabulous machine that you can take any kind of crap and run it through the machine that's cooked by a process of shear, which is like rubbing your hands together. But where do you get your ingredients from? Well, roadkill, primarily roadkill. Then you've got dead, down, dying, diseases, disabled animals. So if a cow has cancer, they just lift it up by its heels and lower it down into a grinder. And, they'll knock it out, load it into a grinder. Now, the whole thing is in there, including the collars, including dog collars, including cat collars, including all that aluminum that's in there. And then you have animals that are euthanized. And I was telling the FDA this for, I don't know, let's just call it multiple 10-year periods. So I've been telling the FDA that. Because they called me up and they found it. They said, you know what you've been trying to tell us all these years? I said to the FDA, which thing? And they said, about the dogs and cats being in the food. Well, everything turns out that you were correct. And we have living proof here of what's going on. So what they did was, all these dogs in the United States, all over the place, I mean, just insurmountable and incountable, they found phenobarbital and pentobarbital in the food. FDA found this out because they had to get involved because all these cats and dogs were dying of pet food, from eating the pet food. And so the pet food, so the FDA had to get in there and dig into what was in the pet food and what was causing the animals to die. And it was, they found phenobarbital and pentobarbital, which, as you know, are deadly chemicals that are used for euthanasia, but they've also been used since I was a young doctor to use for general anesthesia. So the FDA found out that here's the reasons these thousands of animals, thousands and thousands and thousands, countless thousands of animals alive. I told somebody today during clinic hours, because I have clinic hours every day, and I told these people that if you take every dog and cat that is euthanized with phenobarbital or pentobarbital by your local friendly veterinarian, and then if the veterinarian sells those bodies to the pet food industry, and they don't do this at all, I think, but I may be a little naive on that part. However, you've got countless thousands of places where you go to adopt an animal, and when life is done, they bring the four-legged fuzzy being, inhuman. What they do is they, from all these kill shelters and non-kill shelters, they get thrown into a freezer. And then these different rendering situations, like Darling, Delaware, pick them up, frozen, and pay pennies on the dollar. So it's a great economical piece of ingredients that you have here, because you're paying pennies on the dollar. And what they will do is they'll take that cat and dog, and it's now dead and frozen with the collar on, and they'll grind the whole thing up and they put it in food. So this was all captured by FDA. Did a wonderful job. And then again, they called me up and they said, it's because of you we did this. And we've been hearing this from you for years and years at different shows and talking to us in person and everything. And it's just disgusting what happens here. In the town where I live in, they didn't get involved in that right away, because what they did was they suffocated the patent guards to death by putting them in a chamber like a pair of Magdeburg hemispheres, and it sucked out the air. What a way to die.
God, that's horrible.
That's what they did in the town that I practice in. And they did it for years and years and years and years. And when these people, this is hard information to get a hold of, but when these guys retired and they would bring their darts into Maine, retire from the pound. And they would tell me the stories of how horrible these were. These animals were alive, but nobody would adopt them, or they were sick, or they were poor, whatever. And the animals were put into a chamber, and then the air sucked out of the chamber. I cannot think of a crueler, more disgusting way to treat a child of God. And Mother Teresa didn't think so either. And the several conversations that I've had with her when I was in Calcutta with her. And so this is, it's just horrible. So they caught this company called Schmuckers, who owned 19 national and international brands of pet food. And all those companies, they found 19 different national and international brands, phenobarbital, and that was the answer. So I said to them, I listened to the publisher to say, they said, we're calling you tonight because it's going to be on every radio station in America and television and everything and all that put together. So the next night I called back and I said, but you didn't tell them about that it was the dead darts in the past. And you know what the FDA said to me?
No.
And they said, I know, we know, but we weren't going to get involved in that because we know you are going to do that. So they left it up to me to let the world know that the reason all these cats and dogs are dying is because there's dead cats and dead dogs ground up inside of those cans and drive through.
So when they're saying protein, this is really what they're saying? I mean, they're saying, they may not say that it's beef or whatever, it'll say protein percentage. That's what we're talking about, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, you have protein, fat, fiber, and carbohydrates. That's what, and minerals. That's all you have.
Mm-hmm.
And they never even called them mineral. They used to call it ash until I published my book. I was on Shark Tank and all this stuff. And we talked about all this because there is a truth out there.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did when I started all this, I was in the first class of nutrition ever taught in any kind of medical school by anybody that was learning to be any kind of doctor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so in the learning how to do this, I just happened to be, of course, we all know there's no coincidences, right? I just happened to be in the class taught by the great Russell Fry from Kansas State University in 1969 in the spring semester. I just happened to be in his class, and I just happened to become his protege. And I have been for the rest of my life, and Russ died a number of years ago. But every single solitary person that I know of that feeds pet food dies from diabetes or cancer. That's the top two. Well, the diabetes is because of the roadkill in the food and the dead, dying disease and disabled animals that are in the food. And so what I did in my graduation from attend the state university, I became the living protege of Les Fry. Richard Passwater and I are the oldest living proteges of Linus Pauling. And as you know, Linus Pauling is the only person that got the Nobel Prize twice. So, and he was there when I got my award, different awards for different things. He was there with me. I got the same kind of awards from the Committee for World Health, and my award was cure prevention and control of cystitis in cats and women in the world. So I'm the cranberry juice man. And so all this has happened over a 53-year period. But I had people making my food a long time ago. Then I bought Super Bowl pet foods in Mastiff, New York. And I had total control, because the SCSI pet food industry there is no control. It's like the Wild West. There's one thing that counts for them, and that is money and more money. And now with prices going up, you're going to see cats and dogs dying all over the place, because the only way they can make the screaming outrageous profits that they can make is by keep diluting the food into non-usable food. So the description of pet food is, this is condemned food forbidden to use in feeding people. That's what it is. When I made the food for Ethiopia for President Reagan, myself and Peggy Heckler, she was the Secretary of Health, Education, Human Resources, and they turned against us on this whole thing. And so they didn't want to do this. They didn't want Ethiopia to happen. They didn't want the Ethiopia, the resistance of making natural pet food. I declared the natural movement in pet food and the forbidding of phenobarb, ketobarb, all those, and every kind of feeding a dog or a cat. After the Ethiopian situation was over, Dr. Barber, we got to take a hard break
and pick that up when we come back, because this is bigger than us, apparently.
So thank you, Lena.
You're living in the solution.
If you miss Living in the Solution, you can catch it on drlenagorge.com, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and a host of multimedia platforms. You can follow her on Positive Solutions on Telegram and Living in Solution on Facebook. Subscribe and share it with your friends.
You're listening to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George, consumer healthcare advocate.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Broderick. And, you know, it was heartbreaking to listen to the last segment. I love animals. I love humanity. Any living creature that's cruel and unusual, and nothing living should have that happen to them. And we need to make choices, because you don't know what you don't know, honestly. I don't think anybody could have fathomed what you said about how this food is created. And I'm on your website now looking at it, and there's a whole line, icons, of what your food doesn't have. No euthanized animals, antibiotic-free, gluten-free, BPA-free, free-range, pesticide-free, wild-caught, GMO-free, organic tilth, and USDA organic. I mean, that speaks to the amount of time. And I know that before the break, you were talking about you had bought pet food factories. And I know you've been on our show a long time ago, but I would love for you to just discuss once again what goes into making your food? You just described the dregs of the food industry for pets. How does,
dregs.
I mean, that's putting it mildly. They should be arrested, yeah. quite frankly.
Yeah.
But you're talking yeah. about
and
you
cook your... We're on radio, so I
know,
can't
right?
use the proper language to describe the people in the pet food business.
You know, right? I'm trying to be as decent as I can about it because it's, if I, you know, had my way, they wouldn't be here. So from that opposite end, you're talking about picking raw materials that are organic, that are at a higher standard food standard for humans, and not only just a regular food standard, but actually high end. Most people, you know, shouldn't be eating what we call fast food because it's probably one step above what the pets are eating. But you're talking about cooking your own food, having it organic. Go through that process because I think people need to understand the love and the attention to detail that goes into creating the cornucopia of food products.
Every single solitary morsel is certified organic or wild in my food. So my rules are so far above FDA, it would make you, you know, wonder what's going on here. My rules are so far above AAFCO, Association of American Feed Control Officials. My food is so far above organic. Carrageenan, here's a carrageenan. Now, there's a very popular brand around in the United States, and they load their food with carrageenan, and it makes the smoothest, best pate texture. It's the texture. It sucks up water. It allows them to fill the dry food as well as the pet food with water, which is a free ingredient.
Mm.
And that's what's going to happen now. That's what's going to happen now because all food is going to go up. We're going to run out of food. I just had to order 2 tractor trailer loads. And that was, they were 42,000 pounds of trailer loads of 2 different ingredients. I had to buy it by the trailer load, 42,000 pounds, to just get what I wanted to get. And if you look at the industry, the health industry, we were all called health nuts at that time, okay? And the health food industry was like 4% of the United States. Gross domestic product in the United States is like 4%. And my stuff, that's what I have to buy from. So the people who I buy my chickens and turkeys from, they haven't had, it's been hundreds of years, with no pesticides on the land. When I declared the national war against sugar, and the sugar in pet food. So Elena, do you remember Bill Dufty, William Dufty?
I think I remember the name, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote Sugar Blues. He wrote Billie Holiday, Lady Sings the Blues, and then he wrote Sugar Blues. And I was sitting there with his wife in the first row at the International Pet Food Show in New York. And I was sitting with Gloria Swanson, who is married to Bill. And Bill said, "All right, I have a treat for you. This is really important. I want you to take this to heart." And he said, "So I'd like to introduce Dr. Jeffrey Broderick, and who is going to tell you what he is going to commence." That was the commencement. And so I went to the podium, declared the commencement of the war against sugar and chemicals in pet food. And that was it. That's the Bill Dufty story. Sugar is so outrageous, but you got to put the sugar in the food. The sugar is the killer. If you put the sugar in the food, they'll eat this crap food. And so that's because you got to eat it. Because if they don't eat it, it doesn't make, no, never mind, as we say in Kansas. And so with all that, and then along comes aspartame. What are you going to pay all this money for sugar for when you've got multiple times sweetener by using aspartame. So follow the money. And they've got aspartame in there. And then to make a can of food like I do, because I made food for 40 years, and now I just started about 4 years ago because we make crispy crunchies, which is dehydrated food. All of this, what's happening is it's all about the money.
Mm-hmm.
But it appalls me how you can see how you can pay $8 billion to a guy that started vitamin water, bought in by the scuzziest company in the world, or one of them. There's so many of them, but one of them is what goes on inside the mind of the Purina people. So this was 53 years of watching them be responsible for their irresponsibility. And they're not. They're not responsible for anything. Everything is a lie, in my opinion. Everything is a lie that they talk about. Now you got this company, the guy sells vitamin water to Purina, somewhere around $1 billion. And this guy took the food, he took this, got into a food, pet food business. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like when they put on the advertisement, it's like the dog is a wolf and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. I don't know where they got the name Blue from, but I don't know any blue wolves. And I used to sponsor the Alaskan races
mm-hmm.
with Cornucopia. So how do you, in all consciousness, make this kind of money? How can you take this kind of money, sold the food to $8 billion, and if somebody would hear this, they would say, well, it really wasn't. It was $7,986,000. There's always somebody that's going to say or try to say that I'm exaggerating. Well, you know what? I invite anyone in the world to debate me on food for your pet, because you can't even come close to doing what I've done. Everything I made in the pet in veterinary medicine has gone into producing a food that makes it hard for veterinary medicine to profit. So the answer is become what I've become. I become an animal doctor. And in being an animal doctor, or any kind of doctor, you know, and everybody else knows, that an office visit is 8 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Including paying the copay.
Mm-hmm.
The average office visit is 8 minutes. And so how can you teach somebody something in 8 minutes? And people said to me over my 53 years, wait a second, Jeff. Let me clear this up for you. Why are you spending all the money that you've made in veterinary medicine? The millions of animals that I have seen and worked on, and say, don't you understand you're putting yourself out of business? And I say, and my answer is, no, I'm not. I've got a great business that's moral. I've got a great business that takes care of the animals. This is what I was born for. I've been here before, and I'm sure you have too.
I couldn't have said it better. I totally agree with you. And let's take our last break, because that mindset is what people with their pets and themselves really need to start looking for. Doctors who believe that. You're here to minister to your patients, to help them, not to be a conveyor belt, do the status quo, contribute to the sick system that we're in. We need to make a change. On that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution.
I made this change 53 years ago. I've been eating the food. It is impossible for you or anybody else to order to buy a can of food from me that I haven't eaten a can from that batch over 53 years' time. Every time I make a truckload, a truck comes in, nothing can be sold. That's my rule, not FDA rule. My rule is that nothing can be sold unless I eat it first.
Well, Dr. Barber, hold on to that thought because we're coming right back. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Broderick and his company, Cornucopia Pet Foods. And I think the tagline on your website says it all. It's the gold standard in organic dog and cat food, no question. And while we were in the break, you were telling me that you don't put into a can anything that you haven't already eaten first. Say that one more time for the listeners.
It's impossible for you to buy, or your listeners, or anybody else, friends, family, whatever you do, it's impossible for you to buy a can of food that I haven't eaten a can from that batch. And this goes back 53 years. And it's the same thing when I was on Shark Tank. And I'm on Shark Tank every, Mark Burnett has me on, about every 3 to 5 weeks. Because he's got 15 hours of footage on me. The thing was so dramatic. Was about me curing cancer. I don't cure cancer. Actually, I don't cure anything. What I do is I have made food for the first time in the world and going back to 53 years. So anybody that's making food now is just a me too, but they can't make Cornucopia. They just can't do it. And they've tried, and they've offered to buy me out, and I could go to the beach forever. And what am I going to do? What am I going to do? If Cornucopia ever sold, we'd have thousands of sick, dying, and dead animals out there because no one is going to put the money into it like I do. No one. Because you can't stay in business that way. Mm-hmm. So my food is worth, the value of my food is worth double what anybody pays for it. So when they go on Cornucopia, pet foods, plural, .com, and they look at this, they see that this is expensive food to buy. However, one can feed 3 to 4 cats a day. Mm-hmm. So to feed the food, to feed Cornucopia is almost like for free, almost, because every single solitary thing is human grade, and we've been eating it. Me and my staff have been eating this food for 53 years. And so when I started this, cats and dogs lived an average of sick at 6 and dead at 8. That's when I started. When I was born, they lived to 24. Now I'm out of that veterinary medical school at Kansas State University. I'm the protege of the great Russell Fry. And so I'm making food, and I just watched. Over all these years, I watched all these diseases go away, all of them. And it's all through nutrition, not through dietetics, not through feed them feeding, because everything is in there. So the results that I've got is astounding. Now I ask you, why do people ask me if I'm going to retire? Well, what am I going to do? Sell my company to Blue or Purina stuff that's in that food that you, how do you believe anything that Purina says? Because Purina is owned by Nestle. And Nestle makes a water called Poland Springs. Poland Springs dried up when I was a senior in veterinary medical school at Kansas State University in 1969. Who are they kidding? And then they come out and they were sued, and the judge found it against them, and of course the Purina people, the 27th largest company in the world. They got the best lawyers you could possibly have, because that's how you judge the best lawyer. who can get away with the most crap? So the lawyers come down on the judge and, listen, we've got all these things that we paid for, all these commercials and everything. You can't just kick us out. We can't just, okay. How much time do you need? Well, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. And so the judge said, you've got X amount of days, whether it's 30, 60, 90, whatever it was. These people had the chutzpah to come out. They weren't in a spring anymore. Now they're in waterfall, showing the guy that, where they're getting the water from. Everything has been a lie, right? Now, the guy that did Blue Buffalo, that was, he's a master at making things seem like they're good. When you're feeding food that you can't put in baby food, and that is carrageenan, if you want to make a canned food, and you want to spend a lot of money making canned food, you could come close. You could come close to cornucopia. Close. No cigar. Close. You're making it with carrageenan, which, in my opinion, as a doctor, as a surgeon, so I diagnosed as a doctor. I went in and cleaned them up as a surgeon. And a nutritionist who created a food that's never created in the world. It cost me so much money to do it, I had a decision to make. I'm going to give this, and my food is expensive to buy, but not expensive to use, because at the end of the day, as they say now, you have a food that you can't make anything that competes with cornucopia. It's impossible, in my opinion. And I've been doing this. So you got Dr. Jack, Dr. Martin, Dr. Phil, Dr. This, Dr. That. Okay? Mm-hmm. None of these people make food, Elena. They don't make the food. They have their name put on it. Oh, yeah, well, we was blah, 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 blah. They start doing the tap dance. The most wonderful thing would happen is that we would go on a television show with, you know, a couple of people like you and have a debate. Cornucopia is non-debatable. So what have we done in 63 years? We have gone from 6 and 6 and dead at 8 to pushing 20 for the dog, and our cats have gone from 22 into 23. Those are the results. I don't care what those are my 53 years of truth. 53 years of watching animals grow younger instead of growing older. They're growing younger. And to reach this thing, to reach what I've done, this is why Michelle's been, you know, in constant training, because, I mean, let's figure on it. I mean, one of these years from now, I'm going to crap out. Right?
We all will, but
not, yeah,
not ready for that yet.
It's a blessing that I was given by bringing me back here. And it's been a very lonely chore. There are 3 million doctors with doctor's degrees, 3 million of them, and 500,000 dentists, and there are 500,000 chiropractors and 500,000 shrinks, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them makes food. They all know, well, yeah, okay, let Jeff Frederick do it because I'm not going to do this. I want to live. I want to have retirement. I want to go to the beach. What are you going to go to the beach for? Come on. And what are you going to do with billions of dollars? What are you going to do with $8 billion, for God's sake?
I think you have to put your intention on what's important. Is it money, or is it actually doing what you are put on the earth to do? And we only have a few seconds left. I want to make sure people know how to get your book, Compassion for Pets. I see it on your website. Is that the best place to buy it?
Yeah, because then it's signed and dated. And while they're on the website, what they can do is they can call me anyone can call me. Everybody out there that gets phone calls is $300 an hour. You want to call a nutritionist, it's $300 an hour. You know, plus or minus, whatever. And plus or minus, but an average of $300. I don't charge anybody anymore. I used to charge nutritional consultations for $300. That's what everybody did. I don't charge people anymore. I will stay on with them for an hour or whatever, or 2 hours. Whatever.
That's a blessing.
And we're working on lymphoma now. We're working on a way for the animal, the non-union, human animal, thank you, the non-human animal, and they don't die. They don't die. Oh, and guess what? I had a woman on the phone a couple of days ago, and I said, well, she says, yeah, well, I got really good coverage and everything, so if anything happens to my dog, I'm okay. I said, what do you pay for the coverage? Well, my dog a little more, but the cat is $120 a month. It's lunacy.
It's about
prevention.
Nobody
dies from cornucopia.
No, about prevention. It's an investment.
It's all prevention.
Yeah.
And it's a thrill to talk to all these people every day. I get to fly out, make my food. I get help unload tractor trailers. I mean, I'm like intimately involved in this. And out of 3 million doctors, everybody knows why you live longer or die shorter. It's because of the food. That's the reason. There was this other guy, and his name was Hippocrates, okay? Hippocrates lived 600 years before Jesus. And he said, food shall be your medicine. Medicine shall be your food. Okay, so that's fine. And you can understand that. But people don't, because people want everything to be sweet and cheap and fast. And everything else. You're killing yourself. However, no matter how bad food is that we humans eat, it ain't dog food. Mm-hmm. Dog food is scuzzy, poisonous. When the whole thing is a disgusting lie, when the whole thing is you're taking the animal's life away. Why would you do that? They're the only thing in life that gives you unconditional love. And here, what is man's best friend?
Your dog, your cat.
The dog and the cat, right? Yeah. But when you come home at night, you're going to curl up with that cat and that dog, because they are unconditional love. That's all they can do, because they don't have a prefrontal cortex. So they can't scam you. 53 years of watching this melt away. All these diseases melt away. All you've got to do is prevent it. And that goes to any disease. Any disease is inflammatory disease. And then 4 years ago, I picked up a partner in a business we have, and we grow sprouts. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We grow sprouts, and then we let the sprouts grow till 7 days, and then we clip them, and then we dry them without heat, so you can smell the broccoli and radish powder. I love what I do. I love talking to the animals. I love watching them grow. I love giving them unconditional love. You got to be out there like you. You're teaching people. I'm teaching people. The people that I talk to on a daily basis are teaching people. There's no reason for anybody to die early if they do it the right way. And I'm just glad that I was put here to create the alternative to sickness and death in my lifetime.
Dr. Broderick, thank you for everything you do. Keep hanging in there. And thank you for helping pet owners, pets, and Godspeed on that. And I'd like to thank everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.